City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Peter Maverick.
I'm Amy Matheny. This Queer Cast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Always worth it. American Airlines, offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
Listening to the Windy City Queercast, show number 166. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter Maverick.
Hello, Peter. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Have you gotten into the hustle and the bustle enough to drive you mad?
Can I tell you?
The pressure and the headaches?
Enough to drive you mad. A new survey just came out, and I was like, this is why I had such a fucked up weekend, because really did. I had one of those weekends where the boiler was flooding in my basement. And
flooding?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was at the Verizon store for 3.5 hours trying to take back my BlackBerry and get a new phone, and nothing would sync out of my phone. It just was a nightmare on Elm Street. And then, like, just the regular, the snow and work and trying to go away for a week and all this. And then I get this thing from Harris Interactive, which is the big survey, you know, company in the United States, organization. And the headline is, new survey reveals that lesbians feel more stressed around the holidays than their heterosexual counterparts. And I'm like, look, it is scientifically polled with a P-O-L-L-E-D.
I'm supposed to be stressed because I'm a dyke.
I am. Listen to this. I'm serious. It says, when it comes to stress or depression during the holidays, lesbians feel both at higher levels than their heterosexual counterparts.
Why?
Four out of five, 80% of lesbian adults say they feel more stressed around the holidays, when 64% of heterosexual women said they feel more stressed. Half... 51%, more than half, of lesbians said they tend to feel depressed, where only 36 of heterosexual women say they do. And I mean, they mention why is because of estrangement from family. Maybe they've been isolated. They're isolated. They've been separated from their kids, possibly, or just culturally, you know, insensitive people with families and activities and how you belong and all of that. But I don't know. I just think
the world is out to get me. I'm a dyke.
I just think that's what it is. It says, you know what it does? It says for lesbians, the baseline levels of stress and depressive feelings are often higher even before the holidays.
Do you know what it is? It's sex.
It's sex?
It's sex.
Because we need it. We want it.
Well, I don't think you guys have it as much as the boys do.
Well, but heterosexual women, well, they get taken by the men, and they just lay down and take it.
But even still, I bet you the numbers for boys are far lower than the numbers for girls in general.
Yeah.
We just get stressed out and we beat off.
Yeah.
We just touch ourselves. That's how we let it go.
Or create a fight, or if you're straight guys, they act out.
There's no difference, I think, between masturbating and fighting with someone else.
Okay. Well, there
you go. I think it's all the same emotional arc.
I don't know. Isn't it interesting?
It starts slow, it comes to a climax, and then it tapers off. I think.
But the bad thing is that stress and depression lead to hypertension, cardiovascular disease, sleep disorders, anxiety, cancer. You know, you recover from diseases much slower.
So does McDonald's.
So, which I had today. I had some fries. I am definitely a lesbian in duress. I am I'm a lesbian during the holidays in duress.
You know what it is for me? Seriously.
Crazy. Yeah.
But you have to find that. There has to be that one moment in the day when you have that absolute center.
I have that.
But then you got to find it again later on in the day.
And then I get off my knees in the morning and I'm like, oh my God.
It, you know, that cup of Earl Grey.
Yeah.
Find something.
I had a cup of tea today. Today was okay.
Have a cup of hot chocolate.
I fell down my stairs yesterday.
My God.
Look at my arm. Like my backside is, I've got a lot of padding in my ass. So my ass has no bruises, but my hip sockets, like I can't lift my legs even perpendicular.
No.
And I just, my dog looked at me like mommy went boom. I mean, she was like, her little head was kind of tilted to the side. She was looking at me like, are you okay? Scrooby?
Are you going to walk me now? What's going on?
I know. I was like, all the way down. So my neck feels thrown out and I just had a massage on Saturday and now I feel like shite. It's just the holidays. I'm a lesbian. I'm stressed.
My holidays are going swimmingly, I have to say, except for the entire cast is sick. So I was sick.
Of Rudolph.
Yeah. So everybody backstage is like...
And you're like,
and we have to go, yeah.
You're like covered in a force field of antibacterial wipes.
The entire time I'm on stage, I have to look to my right because my left ear stopped up and I can't hear shit. So I'm trying to sing on key like, oh my God, people think I have a nervous tic. I'm always ticking to the right because I can't hear anything.
That's hilarious.
I'm playing to the one man sitting on the right stage right as opposed to everybody on stage left. But, you know, it's fun. I like it. We had a little bit of snafu. We were down in Elf, so David Serta had to hop in and play the role.
Oh, funny.
Which was fun and it was crazy.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you're used to dancing with three other guys and you have all your spacing and then there's only two other guys and the sound isn't as full and it was so, oh my God, it was just crazy. But it was good. I have some big news though.
Okay.
I broke up with my Japanese teacher.
You broke up with your Japanese teacher?
I did. I'm not taking Japanese anymore. And I hope I'm not going to cry because I was actually blogging about this earlier today and I was bawling about it. It's a very sad thing. For 4 years, this woman has been a part of my life every single
week. Why did you fire her?
Well, because I'm going to start studying for my bilingual Greek certification. You and I talked about this. But it's just so interesting that...
It wasn't any bad blood.
No, God, no. She's still one of my best friends in the world. And I hope I'm not going to cry. But it was just, it's a big thing. And, you know, around the holidays, something always sad has to happen to me. So that was like the sad thing that happened to me. And it, like,
you don't feel like you can do Greek and Japanese. It's just
no,
too much.
I can't.
Your brain.
I can't do it because Greek is going to lead to so many other projects that I'm working on. And I just can't, I won't be able to juggle it and then try and speak English in the interim.
Yeah.
But, you know, she came over on Thursday and we had our last lesson and, God, I am going to cry. Okay, I got to stop talking about this.
Aww.
So anyway, so when she left, it was just really rough. And I haven't had a good cry like that in a long time. So I think that's how I got my emotional stress out.
I had a good cry. I had a good cry this past weekend. You just, honestly, I was saying to someone today that all of my relationships have begun and ended in November, December.
Really?
And I've never realized that. I've always just kind of gone, huh. How ironic that like this all seems to happen at the same
That's
time.
That's the real stressor. Has nothing
That's
to do with
the thing.
Else.
It's like for me, I don't know. You know, I think it's my perfectionism. Like I just, it's the end of the year. How did I perform this year? What needs to happen so I can go on vacation? I mean, I'm really done. I'm really done with most of my year-end work. I'm done with all my presents except for making you something white trashy from scratch that I have to make and can't come out of a box. It may come out of some cans.
It can come out of some
and
cans.
And of various containers. But there's a whole lot of stuff I can make you. Maybe I'll make you my poblano peppers. I don't know.
That's
I'm
okay.
just thinking of all the different things.
Chili,
you're getting it. You're getting
pulled
it right.
Pork.
I can make you some chili now.
Whatever, girl. Just make me some food.
Maybe
it's all about some food.
Have you come over and make you complete dinner.
That's okay, too.
White trash dinner. But anyhow, I'm pretty done. Like, my tree's beautiful. My girl's show is up. You know, it's like, it's kind of done. But I just think a good cry is a gift to oneself during the holiday time.
And then right at the end of it, I don't know what it was. You
but
know,
I could just be a depressed lesbian.
No,
during the holiday times.
Right at the end of it, it was such a Steel Magnolia moment for me because seriously, right at the end of it, like my cat like looked out from under the cover and he had like one ear flopped down and one eye was half open and it looked so funny. I started laughing and all I heard was Dolly Parton in my head, like the whole line, like sugar laughter through tears is the best thing in the world. And
there
I was like, oh my God, drink your juice, Shelby. So it was all this whole...
Better Get to Livin'. Did you watch I watched the Dolly video.
Isn't it cute?
It's awesome. Amy Sterris and Dolly Parton.
It's
Better
so
Get
adorable.
To Livin'.
I like
it's my
the
new
little
theme
top
song.
Hat.
I freaking love it.
It's true.
It's my way of life these days. Better Get to Livin', kids.
Isn't it amazing
I love
how,
it.
As a songwriter, though, she just sort of captures the kind of shit that's going on?
She does.
It's
a woman
miraculous.
Is one of the most, and I will say this, one of the most brilliant songwriters of all time.
Of all time.
Of all of time.
All
and
time.
She's a mega gazillionaire because of it, because her songs.
And rightly, I mean,
sell.
Completely deservedly so.
Yeah.
She does it. It's not, she's, you know, she's not bitches and hoes writing for that. It's stories about people, about life, about what's going on. And it's just amazing that she has that power. So
no, it's totally, totally true.
Yeah. And I also, guitar class is all done. So that's all ended and I'm not going back for another session. So no. I'm on the bouzouki hunt. My fingers are ready now. I'm ready for the bouzouki.
There you go.
So,
the bouzouki.
Yeah,
oh, my lordy.
You know what a bouzouki sounds like?
Mm-hmm. I sure
it's
do.
Like twangy and clangy and stuff like
it's
that.
It's like the banjo, but not.
Right. Exactly. But It's not plucky. It's more like chunky sounding.
Yeah.
It has this good thing. It's like between a dobro, banjo, and a guitar all
there
at once, and it's double stringed. Do you know what my new favorite Christmas song is, though?
No.
And I just heard it this year for the first time. I don't know if it came out a long time ago. I don't know when it came out, actually.
What is it?
It is a medley of God Rest You Merry Gentlemen and We Three Kings by the Bare Naked Ladies with Sarah McLachlan.
Oh, no, I've heard that.
It is gorgeous.
You should play that at the end of this show.
I think I will. Oh, I was maybe just going to open the show with that. Maybe I'll play it at the end, too. I'll play it the whole show.
Play it the whole
show. We'll just listen to it. Don't tell nobody at EMI or Virgin Records or whoever.
I liked it.
But it's a good song.
I've had the Carpenters Christmas in at my house, and my girlfriend was just calling me. She hasn't been home a lot. And she's like, we were talking about something totally else. And then she said, we need to listen to more Christmas music. It was so funny. It was like out of the clear freaking blue, except that it's Christmas. She's like, we need to play some more Christmas music. And I said, well, honey, when I get done recording with Peter, when you get home, we'll play some Christmas
music. Did she have it on in the car? Is she listening in the car?
No, she doesn't have a car, you know, so she doesn't have an iPod. I really need to probably get her one of those for Christmas, but I haven't. But
we know where Amy will be going over the weekend.
We can go into the Apple store. No, my computer is still sitting on my dining room table. That's just the Macintosh Leopard update. For those of you who heard my last podcasts where I said I haven't taken it out of the box or the plastic. Yes, it's still there. The BlackBerry has now returned.
What happened with the BlackBerry?
Here's the thing.
Tell me.
If anybody watches Men in Trees, this is when I start getting, this is it. This is me falling downstairs, metaphorically. No, seriously, if this was an episode of Men in Trees where she does a little radio thing, you don't watch it probably, but, or Sex in the City where she's typing her article, my sentence would be, Is in managing your life, does it become more unmanageable? Like, that would be my question for the episode for Sex in the City or Men in Trees. Because I really am trying. I'm trying to move into this new age. And I do it. But what I've discovered about myself is I do not like change.
No.
And I also don't swim upstream very well, which Miss Cleo was talking about anymore. I used to be really good. Well, you'll hear from Miss Cleo. But, you know, Miss Cleo had told me off the record to not swim upstream. And
she called you out on your shit.
On my shit. And, you know, and I used to feel really comfortable swimming upstream, like kind of going against the grain. Not in a rebellious way.
I'm doing my stuff.
Shaving my head
and
piercing my body. Not that that's anything wrong with that. But to me, growing up as like a debutante, that would have been swimming upstream in an outward sense. But for me, it's more like my work ethic, and I don't really care what you want and what I want kind of thing. And I can't live like that anymore. So, so my question of is managing your life, does managing your life become unmanageable? You know, when does managing become too unmanageable? Mm-hmm. And I hit it. Like, I didn't want to get 40 emails in my BlackBerry every day. I was like, I don't give a shit. Like, I don't want to be at this meeting with a friend and then get in my car and look down and go, oh my God, I need to call these people right now. And that's how my brain works. I could not turn it off. And I was like, you know what? I've made such conscious choices working out of my home of like the past 2 years, which has been a real change for me because I've worked out of my home now for almost 9 years. I used to constantly be in front of my desk and there was no time of day that I wouldn't turn my computer on. And now I just don't do it. I work a lot of hours. And I'm usually very, if you need to access me by email, I'm usually very accessible. But I've put some boundaries on that. And what happened with that thing that was attached to my hand and my ear was that it was just, there are no boundaries now. I get all the information. And, you know, it was nice to be at Mary's Attic hanging out with Steven Rader and get an email almost simultaneously that Dolly Parton's coming to town. Like, that was kind of fun. But you know what? I can email him when I get home and I read my email and reconnect with him and say, I had a great time tonight.
Oh my God, Dolly. I can just see the two of you queening out about
it. So freaking funny. So, you know, I honestly, I'm still somebody who likes my little handheld calendar. Like, I don't want a device that turns on the music and you know, slaps out my calendar and announces that I'm 10 minutes away from a meeting. It was just too much. So, because I was really trying. I was really going there to go, like, what can this do for me? Mm-hmm. How does this make my life feel? And for me, and also I have to say, one other big key thing, because I did, baby. I spent hours. I downloaded the Pocket Mac because the BlackBerry is not that compatible with the Macintosh. I'm talking tech talk. Are you so impressed?
Sure,
he's probably hard right now. I can't see him at this table.
I'm not impressed because that laptop's still on the damn box. But there you go. Go ahead.
But that's Christmas. Continue. I'm going to have good, joyful time with that. But anyhow, so, you know, it's not... It really, I'm not interested in trying to become a PC person. And so, as you know, if the iPhone, when the iPhone is Verizon accessible, I will be the first in line. Mm-hmm. I really will. And then I'll merge some of those things in a Macintosh format that I understand. But I do not want to relearn PC formatting and stuff. It's just, it's not of interest to me. It's supposed to make my life easier. And when I went, this is not making my life easier. What makes my life easier is to have some boundaries from the flow of communication. Because I feel really guilty. Like, I should be answering somebody's email immediately. And
why though?
I don't know. It's just me. Like, I just
see. I've always like sometimes I work from home, but during those work hours, or even when I'm working, you know, outside of my day job, when I'm working on this show or what I'm doing, there are those hours that I that is the boundary. That is the boundary. From this time to this time is when I work on this, and there's. You know, and that's the only thing I'll do. No, I will not go throw in a load of laundry while I'm working on the show. No, I will not go put something on the stove while I'm working on the show. I have to. That's how I just time slice my boundaries like that. That's what I've gotten into.
But you're also not triggered by it. Like, see, I'm just triggered by it. And I just know that today. Like, I just know that getting 20 emails after I've sat down and had coffee or lunch with a person for an hour will trigger me. And so the better thing is to be able to go home, look at my computer.
Well, yeah, and, you know, and take it when you want it. Get it when you want it and how you want to put it together. But yeah, it's interesting that the technology has gotten us to this point where you can be in touch all the time.
Yeah.
But now people have to really force themselves to ask that question. Do I need to be in touch? You know, there's all these people claiming they work the 4-hour week. Mm-hmm. They work for 4 hours a week and that's all.
Yeah.
Or they work for 10 hours a week and that's all they do. Yeah. And then in that 10 hours, they're so productive and they're so efficient, they can do it. That's not me. I'd like to be a little more switched on than that. So
yeah, and I think you just have probably better capabilities at these kind of boundaries because you've been using this technology for so long.
I've had to, like, load balancing. Like, at one point, I was up to 10 different jobs. So just having
and
to
I
do
was
that,
too. But... Well, not 10. I don't know if I was up to 10, but I had a lot of jobs in my 20s, you know, running a theater company, you know, acting in shows, you know, working for the radio show, being a sales rep. I was doing all those simultaneously, which was just insane. But
so what did you learn this year then? That the boundaries,
that's it. Like, I have to be gentle with myself in moments of change, and I don't always have to think that change or more is better for me. Like, less right now is better for me. My life is large. My life is large. My life is very full. And I doesn't need to be any louder or larger, you know, simple. I'm really have been having quite a year, probably since the summer, of really focusing on simplicity and just being more mindful of how I work and how I show up and how I live, you know, and that it's simple pleasures, simple, that people are important, that moments are important, and that not all of this kind of white noise for me. And I'm drawn to white noise. I'm drawn to, like, really manic, busy, lots of stuff going on. And so I have to really
see. I don't ever see you that way though. I always see you like you're, you know, still
water. Well, cause when I'm here to focus, I'm focused on doing
a job. But I see you everywhere. I mean, we do a lot of things together.
Yeah, but that's maybe the outside, you know, the inside has got a lot of big committee going on.
Well, you're a good actress, girl.
A big committee in my head. So, and it's, you know, it's the holidays. So it's the end of the year. And as we kind of wind down, it's good to kind of look at what we're learning. And I think that what I know now, right now, it could change. In 6 months, I could go, I want my life bigger. I want to do more. But right now I'm really enjoying where I can find my moments of simplicity. So,
well, I learned after 4 years, it hurts. It hurts. I was really bawling, Amy. I haven't cried like that in forever. Really, really, really hurt bad. And I can't do it, because in order for me to, you know, I have a goal in mind, and in order to get to that goal, I have to do this. But it's just,
well, it's when we get to be grateful for the 4 years of somebody, and that somebody has mentored you so beautifully into this language. And you know what? It's not like you lost somebody. It's like you're creating a separation for a time, and you can go back to it, and
our
you can always tap into it and stay connected with this person on a different level that's deep and meaningful.
Yeah,
you know?
Our pact is once a month we're going to go have dinner. We're going to have girls' night.
Go.
Yeah, we're going to go eat with sticks.
Well, as you're listening to all this holiday music in this show that Peter has peppered throughout, you know, and the next few shows, we have such a good number of shows coming up for you as we look back on the year in news here in the upcoming show. We're also going to be talking about gays and adoption here at the end of the year. You know, is that something you've been contemplating when we're still and we're around and we think about family?
Yeah.
You know, it's really a powerful time, I think, to think about our roles as GLBT people or allied people who listen to our show. And, you know, how do we create change so we open ourselves up to the possibility of bringing children into our homes? And how do we open the hearts and minds of other people who might want to keep us from that goal of even contemplating, would we make good parents, foster parents, adoptive parents for kids in need? And we're going to be talking about New Year's, our resolutions, what we think about the upcoming year. You know, it's been a banner year.
And we'll be talking about, I think, the year in the show also, because your homework, should you choose to accept it, is to figure out what you love the most about this year. I think I know what it is.
Oh, God, I don't.
I think I know what it is, what the one, because I just remember the look on your eyes when you told me about it. So
Peter baking so we'll for me? I don't know. You'll have to ask me.
No.
I forget so quickly. I have that really... that short-term memory loss.
It all just gets filed away.
Isn't it good?
It all back.
This is because your committee's not so loud. I don't remember anything. You could have like spit on my grave and I go, did you do that? I have no idea you did that.
I don't remember names though. I have to see their penis. Then I know if I
I'm good with names.
Did I say that?
You did. But also, big announcement, the Golden Globes are out. If you know Peter and I, if you listen to our show, you know we love television. You know we love movies. Probably television more than movies do we discuss on this show. However, we're going to talk about both. Who was nominated? Who was overlooked and much, much more. There's lots of news today because it's the end of the year, so we've got to make all the 2007 news happen that we can. We'll be back after this.
Find out what happened before Dorothy dropped in at Wicked, Chicago's newest smash hit musical, and the untold story of the Witches of Oz.
Popular, I know about popular.
Popular, USA Today calls Wicked a triumph. And Time Magazine writes, if every musical had the brain, the heart, and the courage of Wicked, Broadway really would be a magical place. Now, this Grammy Award-winning blockbuster has cast its spell over Chicago. Wicked, at the Ford Center for the Performing Arts Oriental Theater.
And nobody in all of Oz, no wizard that there is or was, is ever gonna bring me.
Call 312-902-1400 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com today. Because the longer you wait, the longer you'll wait to see Wicked.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of December 17th, 2007, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Don't miss the musical event of the season, Ella, playing at North Light Theater through January 6th. Set your feet tapping with Ella, the swinging new musical about jazz legend Ella Fitzgerald, featuring memories from her extraordinary life and more than 20 of her greatest hits. For information or to purchase tickets to Ella, visit northlight.org.
It's a new blue holiday tradition when diva extraordinaire Amy Armstrong returns with Freddie Allen on piano and How the Diva Stole Christmas. Christmas 2 to the Lakeshore Theater at the corner of Broadway and Belmont. How the Diva Stole Christmas 2 is for 7 performances only, December 7th through the 23rd. Tickets are only $25. Call 773-472-3492 or visit lakeshoretheater.com.
The all-male comedic ballet company Le Ballet Trocadero de Monte Carlo, or The Trocs as they are affectionately called by ballet enthusiasts around the world, appear one night only at the Harris Theater in Millennium Park, January 17th. This hilarious troupe performs a fabulous evening of high art and satire. Tickets for Trocs are the perfect gift for all of the divas, prima ballerinas, and darlings on your holiday list. Call 312-334-7777 or visit harristheaterchicago.org today.
Altar Boys is a hilarious, wholly inspiring musical comedy about 5 small-town boys, Matthew, Mark, Luke, Juan, and Abraham, trying to save the world one scream screaming fan at a time. The Tribune says this production is brilliant. You'll laugh your socks off. Altar Boys playing now at the Drury Lane Water Tower Theater. Visit alterboyschicago.com.
Remy Bumble Theater Company presents Philip Barry's sparkling comedy of manners, The Philadelphia Story. Don't miss this staging of the beloved Katharine Hepburn film classic. The Philadelphia Story playing now through January 6th at the Victory Gardens Greenhouse Theater, 2257 North Lincoln Avenue. For tickets and information, call 773-871-3000 or visit remybumpo.org. And for more Culture Club, visit windycitytimes.com.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Edible Underwear Maker.
Mr. Edible Underwear Maker.
Your true genius combined two of man's favorite things, panties and food.
I can taste it now.
They're a snack. They're underwear. They're a snack and underwear. Brilliant.
Two treats in one.
Gorgeous grape. Rock my world raspberry. Bodacious banana.
26 flavors.
And nothing says, I want you, like a man with a mouthful of underpants.
I want you, baby.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Mr. Edible Underwear Maker. Because thanks to you, when it comes to panties, extra large means extra yummy.
Yummy.
Light beer at Azabu, St. Louis, Missouri.
And this is your Windy City CareerCast News.
Recently, postings on a website believed to be made by Colorado church shooter Matthew Murray stating that he is bisexual were removed. The website was for people who have left evangelical churches. Several of the posts alluded to his sexuality, and a couple posts mentioned the hypocrisy of Ted Haggard, who was exposed as being gay by a male escort. Haggard was the former pastor of New Life Church, where one of the shootings took place.
In Florida, sponsors of an anti-gay marriage ban may have gathered enough signatures to place the proposed amendment on the ballot next year. The 611,009 collected signatures still need to be verified for the measure, which would prevent judges from overturning Florida's anti-gay marriage laws, to be placed on the November 2008 ballot. If passed, Florida will become the 28th state to pass such an amendment.
Zimbabwe's anti-gay president, Robert Mugabe, was recently endorsed for re-election. He has been ruler since 1980. In Zimbabwe, sodomy is illegal and people are jailed for long periods of time. Mugabe has called gay people, quote, enemies of the state, and is very vocal about his anti-gay stance.
In Israel, the High Court of Justice found that a lesbian couple could adopt children. Rudy and Nicole Berner Kadish, dual Israeli and American citizens, brought the case to court in 1980. 1999. A second December 9th hearing ruled in favor of the couple.
Gay historian Alan Baroub passed away due to complications from stomach ulcers on December 11th. Baroub wrote Coming Out Under Fire, an award-winning book on gay service members in World War II. He was 61.
It might take a while before California Supreme Court will declare whether or not same-sex marriage is legal. Chief Justice Ronald George recently said that it could take a while because there is a vast amount of literature to read from all of the Friends of the Court briefs it has received from 145 organizations. Wow. George said the court expects to hear the case sometime next year, however.
That's what the on-strike writers are writing.
Yeah.
Shock jock Don Imus is at it again. On a December 12th edition of ABC Radio Network's Imus in the Morning, host Imus asked guest Jay Severin, why don't you like Mike Huckabee? Because you are gay or what? The two had been discussing Republican presidential candidates. You can hear in the background the sound engineer add, stand by for the drive-by following Imus's comments. Imus had only been in the air a handful of days before the slip-up. Imus was fired from his previous on-air position for making a racist remark.
ABC News recently interviewed cute lesbian twin rockers Tegan and Sarah. During the interview, Sarah jokingly blamed her forgetfulness on being gay. I'm so distracted by being gay all the time that it's hard for me. I have to have a personal assistant.
I'm not distracted at all. Actor Rupert Everett recently said that everyone should be thankful that he's gay, because otherwise he'd be a drugging, boozing, multiple divorcee and womanizer. He said, it's just as well I'm gay. If I were straight, I'd be a hopeless mad movie star who fucks everything that moves.
You go, Rupert. I don't know if these are good or bad for us. Actress, singer Queen Latifah squashed recent rumors that she proposed to her longtime female personal trainer. She told the Sun Times in Chicago, when you're famous these days, it's just part of the deal. Unfortunately, people will make up all sorts of things that are not true. There ain't gonna be no wedding. Latifah was in Chicago promoting the upcoming flick, The Perfect Holiday.
And that's your Windy City Queercast news.
God rest you, merry gentlemen. Let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born upon this day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. From God our Heavenly Father, this blessed angel came.
And we are back on the Windy City Queercast. So, you know, this Golden Globe thing.
The Golden Globes.
Now, before we start talking about...
I like the Globes.
It's going to come up.
Okay.
Okay, is this not fairly hysterical that because of the writer's strike...
Yeah.
This is going to be the most driest, dullest, boringest show ever.
No, no, no. This is what they need to do. This presentation of the Golden Globes needs to be brought to you by Perrier Jouet or Moët and Chandon because they can eat and drink. So this is the one for it to happen too, that the writers don't write because they get piss ass drunk. And that's when Jack Nicholson always gets on stage and he's just high as a fucking kite or something. And he's always like, yeah, no. And he just goes off on some sort of tangent. So these are the ones I like because the Golden Globes, they can eat and drink. They're sitting at tables and they don't need writers for this. They just need lots of good alcohol and
drugs. Lots of good booze and drugs.
Which is what they, you know, probably are enjoying because they don't have to work tomorrow. None of them have to go into work the next day.
Ain't shit to do.
Yeah. So, I mean, it'll be deadly if this happens for the Oscars. But the SAGs is always good because I think they eat at the SAGs too. So the SAGs are always usually a little hair down.
I thought they just nibbled. I thought there were tiny tables at the SAGs.
Maybe, but they're still always a little lit. Like something happens. It's not network television-y. It's like
in the air ducts, marijuana, cigarettes.
Something like that. Lots of extra oxygen. But the Golden Globes is the best time for this to be happening. And I am so excited also because there will be new players on the floor, at least in television, with the best TV drama being Big Love, Damages, Grey's Anatomy, House, Mad Men, and The Tudors. And I have to say, there's only two of those shows that I don't watch. And I am so...
Did you watch The Tudors? Was that one of them?
I've never watched The Tudors. My mother watches The Tudors. Naked Henry VIII.
Oh my gosh. Stupid
and
stupid.
All right, I'm going to start watching it. But
well, you got time. It's going
to
be on.
I have to say that if Big Love or Mad Men doesn't win, I will be absolutely very upset. And
what's
I'm really
damages?
Leaning. Damages is the Glenn Close show, which is really exciting because it's cable. You know, so what's exciting about this is there's only two primetime shows, two network television shows in the best TV drama, Grey's Anatomy and House. Tudors is HBO.
Showtime.
Showtime, sorry.
Mad Men is AMC.
Big Love is HBO.
Big Love is HBO.
Damages is TNT, I believe. Grey's Anatomy, of course.
FX.
Is it FX?
Yeah, same as Dirt.
FX. And The Mad Men is AMC, which is just really fantastic. I don't, it may probably be the first time AMC's ever had a show. And I've been talking about it for a really long time. I have to say, the funny thing is that, you know, the best actress race is truly so star-studded and diva, with Patricia Arquette, Glenn Close, Minnie Driver, Edie Falco, Sally Field, Holly Hunter, and Kira Sedgwick. I mean,
and
the
wait,
dames,
how come there are so many, though? That's what I don't get.
Well, you know, the Golden Globes is done by the foreign press, and they with it's also interesting.
There's
for
no tiebreaker.
Yeah, and also in the best supporting categories, they mix categories. So supporting actress in a made-for-TV movie, comedy or drama are all in the same category. They don't have, you just are the best supporting actor or actress in television. It doesn't matter if it's a comedy, a drama, or a
miniseries.
In the supporting categories. So it really, you know, kind of disassembles the models that we know, like best supporting actress in a comedy, best supporting actress in a drama, best act in the, and they allows miniseries supporting actors and actresses to actually be nominated, which they're not on some of the other Emmys. They're not able to be nominated. So I don't know. It's a pretty powerhouse year. Edie Falco, really fantastic. And Holly Hunter, I think that's overrated, but I love Kira Sedgwick, and Minnie Driver has just been the riches for me. And I know you love that show as well.
Quite good. I don't get Donald Sutherland. He's in best performance for an actor in a supporting role in a series.
Donald Sutherland will be very interesting.
He just seems very, I mean, his character seems just very drunk all the time.
I think that we just always look at that hair. It's like that hair is a whole other character. But I think, honestly, what might be interesting is Ted Danson is such a favorite of the foreign press, and will he step out with Damages? He and Glenn Close both nominated. I think will be really interesting. Another really interesting category, once again, is the best supporting actress, because you have really varied performances. You have Samantha Morton for the miniseries Longford, and Anna Paquin for Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee. Both are miniseries and kind of known as the cinematic film stars. But then you have like Jamie Presley from My Name is Earl, and then dramatic performances with Rachel Griffith from Brothers and Sisters. Katherine Heigl, I think, won this award for the Emmys last year.
So, the Emmys,
yeah, so it'll be really, really, really interesting. And then what I'm really hoping, best actor in a TV drama, I am so thrilled that Michael C. Hall is there for Dexter and John Hamm for Mad Men. Either one of those gentlemen, I think, truly deserves it. Hopefully maybe Michael C. Hall, because he was never really recognized for his work on 6 Feet Under, and he is so different on Dexter.
And scary really different.
Yeah, the second season just ended, and I won't spoil it because I know I don't think you've watched
it. I'm only through a couple of episodes in the first season.
But what I can tell you, which is not telling you anything that happens plot driven, is just that the writers were absolutely unafraid to write something and maybe just to go for broke. They wrote this past season, which just ended this past week, like they were never going to have to write another one. Like almost every episode, you just couldn't believe what they were writing, I think. And
it was
really
a bit swansong-ish.
Not swan songs, just fearless. Like not something that you can see, oh, we're neatly trying to tie all this up. Like really taking a character to a profoundly dangerous point, you know, so you're not sure. It just, and it was handled so amazingly well. It just cracked open the whole character of Dexter. So those of you who have not seen it, if you've seen season one, I mean, just this season is so fantastic, ended up being so fantastic, and is really just every episode feels like you're almost at the one before the finale, which is what's so exciting about how they wrote.
It's very 6 Feet Under-ish.
Yeah, well, and even more so, like even more so of just like how on the edge they go with, like we would end every episode going, oh my God, like where are they going to go? You know? And that's so thrilling to have that happen, not just during a sweeps three show arc, but to happen consistently for like 14 or 15 episodes is just, so exciting.
Did we talk about Jodie Foster?
Have you know, we talked about Jodie Foster together? We did a news story on her last week.
But we didn't talk about it together, did we?
We didn't talk hugely about it. I mean, you know, didn't she? You know, you definitely have a lot of the European press saying, yeah, she came out of the closet. You have American press not really picking up the story because they silently don't talk about Jodie Foster in some sort of, she is a part
she's
of our royalty. She's a part of our Hollywood royalty, I guess.
She's got good agents.
But yeah, I mean, I don't think, you know, I think if you ever got an expose with her and talk to her one-on-one, she'd say, I never denied and never have lived a closeted life. So, but the fact that she did thank her partner in public,
it's pretty damn big.
Is a big thing. It's a big thing. I don't think it's going to change anything. And, but you know, maybe it will. We'll see.
I didn't see the Brave one. Did you?
No, I want to see it very, very much.
I haven't seen any of... Well, I saw Elizabeth, but that was it. I haven't seen any... I did not see... I'm looking at the best performance by an actress
so
in
a
motion picture.
So we're on to movies.
Yep. Yeah. Sorry.
No, no, no,
I just
no,
saw her
fine.
Name and was like, did we talk about her? I can't remember.
Well, I think it's really interesting.
That I can't remember for whatever reason.
The best... What I love about the Golden Globes, too, is that they do move out. There's a motion picture drama and there's a motion picture musical or comedy. Mm-hmm. And what... You know, my friend Mitchell and I were just discussing this, that really it is... We have come into a time again, and I'm so glad I'm alive to see it, that the movie musical is being made better than ever and very diverse, from everything like Hairspray to edgy Sweeney Todd, which is yet to come out, which is where I'm going to be.
And then they're nominated.
And then Across the Universe, which is a very new way to look at, you know, the Beatles, Julie Taymor, really taking a young, you know, a younger generation of people and using this absolutely rock canon of music. So really very, very, very interesting. And I also think that the... you know, the Golden Globes set the tone for what's going to happen at the Oscars, they say.
Well, for the buzz that's going to happen.
And Oscars usually season. Whoever wins Best Musical Comedy and Best Drama are usually in the Best Picture category. And usually it's a very strong look at who will be nominated, even though they do lean to more nominations, usually for foreign performances from actresses and actors and directors. And I think really interesting category is the best actress. You were mentioning Jodie Foster being nominated, Angelina Jolie nominated. Of course, that's of interest to many of our listeners, the female persuasion. Julie Christie, who I have not seen that film, but it's in my queue and I cannot wait, who I just think is gorgeous. But, you know, and then in the... actress, comedy or musical. Amy Adams is really big on the rise.
Good and for Nikki Blonsky, at least getting the nod.
Absolutely. Me, and the one that I really just think should take it home, Marianne Cotillard. If you have not seen La Vie en Rose, the film that is about the biopic, I guess it would be called, of Edith Piaf, she is an absolute revelation. And if you watch the DVD extras, she's like beautiful supermodel looking girl who is transformed in this little oftentimes trollish, very unattractive,
really?
You know, Edith Piaf character who had so many physical ailments and really battled alcohol and drug addiction and all this kind of stuff to die at a very young age. And she looked twice her age almost throughout her life. Really just a transformative performance. It's totally a revelation. And I mean, right now I think she should win the Oscar. I don't think she will, because I don't think enough people will see the film, but she definitely should win the Golden Globe. Just genius. Is there anybody in the film category that you're really excited about? I have not seen Atonement. I'm excited to see it. I'm glad for all the nominations.
I feel like I'm, all of a sudden I slipped it after about May. I slipped into a film void and I just haven't really gotten out of it since. I saw a few things, but really I haven't. I've been just, you know, cable. I finally got all the channels. So
right.
I've been catching up on everything. But no, I haven't seen a lot. I did see Elizabeth though, and I just love that period stuff, though, so that's just me. Cate Blanchett, she's gorgeous. She reminds me of, and I always forget this actress's name. She was the original Elizabeth on the screen for the old BBC productions.
Oh, I don't know.
And as soon as I say her name...
You'll look it up. Yeah. Well, you know, a lot... I mean, you don't have to be hard on yourself. I mean, though I haven't seen a lot of films lately either, but so many of these movies, you know, come out near the end of the year. This is now the new trend now for the Oscars. So, you know, these are announced, and most people obviously have not seen Atonement or Sweeney Todd or Charlie Wilson's War or Juno, which is just coming out in some of the major cities, or... you know, The Diving Bell and The Butterfly.
Right.
Many of these movies have not really hit wide stream distribution yet. I mean, so, you know, you don't have to be so hard on yourself.
It's interesting, though, that what's the I was just, you know, we just had Richard Knight Jr. on the show, and he was talking about a movie. Lust Caution. I'm happy that it was nominated for Best Foreign Language Film, because I did see that.
Yeah.
But They Will Bleed, or They Will Let It Bleed. Oh, I can't think of the name of it.
Oh, yeah. It was actually nominated. It's called There Will Be Blood.
There Will Be Blood.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one. But, like, the movie's not out.
Yeah.
It's just that's that. I don't think I like that idea that, yeah, you know, it's
well, because
out in
they have
weeks.
To see them and you know, and it, what it does is it drives attention and drives people. Yeah.
So that
out
makes it
too.
Makes it feel a little plastic to me. But her name was Glenda Jackson.
Oh, Glenda Jackson. Yeah.
Who to me
who
is
played
exactly,
Isadora as yes. well in the film Isadora.
Who
yeah,
is what who Kate Blanchett is today.
Yeah. Yeah, she is.
So to
totally
me, they're
true.
They're completely this. It's almost like the same actress. It's just like, oh, Glenda, girl, you got some good work.
Exactly.
Now you're calling yourself Kate Jackson.
It's
there
fantastic.
You go.
Fantastic. Kate Blanchett. Or
see,
Kate Jackson.
There you go.
It's all good.
Kate Jackson. Isn't that an angel?
That's so true. Well, January, the Golden Globes come to our television. So we will have our follow-up after mm-hmm. the awards ceremony. But
we'll talk with Richard about that. Richard
and we'll talk Jr. with Richard once movies. Everything comes up. But, you know, it's big, big nominations. So lots of films to see. It's a good thing to do over the holidays.
And thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This show is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light, always worth it.
And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And Broadway in Chicago, for the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com.
So that's our show. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter Maverick. Please comment on our shows on our website and in iTunes.
The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it.
Windy City Queercast, queer and now.
Star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to that perfect light.
The best and the brightest, served up daily by the sharpest minds in content delivery, Podshow and Limelight.